Transaclan to crumbs.com.
Welcome to the Transatlantic Rant, episode Nove. That's episode 9 in Italian.
That's good, I like that.
Did you like that?
I did.
Oh, my name's Fraser, I'm over in Canada, joined by the wonderful Jeremy in England.
Oh, that's a nice introduction, thank you. Hello, people. Aren't we all positive? It's gone from, like, starting off in the first couple of episodes of to positiveness.
It's a packed agenda, we wanted to crack right along with it. I know we were going to talk about the iPhone 5 release.
Yep.
You suggested talking about David Cameron on Letterman. I'm going to admit straight away I missed that, but that's okay. That might explain why people have been talking about David Cameron, because no one else knows about him over here unless there's a reason.
That's refreshing.
I got down here the X Factor, the decline of all that sort of programming.
Yep.
That's your topic.
It is. It's decline and fall of X Factor, Pop Idol, Karaoke Challenge, whatever you want to call it. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Can you ever have a decline in that sort of programming? Wouldn't it all have started from there?
Well, it's a little bit like fashion. Certain things come round again and come round again. And this has come round again. I mean, you started off with Opportunity Knox and all those sort of like programs, and this is just done full circle. Anyway. Yep.
Dreadful programming.
Yep, we'll discuss that.
I don't even want to give it the time of day. Anyway, well, you'd already watched it, but you suggested that we watch Safe.
Yes.
The Safe.
Yes.
So we did. We watched that on Friday night, so we'll talk about that gem. And then we'll go on to some gaming.
Excellent.
Sounds good. All right, let's crack right on then. Oh, well, quickly, just how are you? How's your week been, all right?
It's been good. I mean, I'm just tired, mate, to be honest. I don't know what it is. I was talking to someone last night, went out to a 40th, and I just think as you get older, you're just tired and hungry all the time. I know I've discussed this in previous rants, but, yeah.
You mentioned the tired and hungry all the time. I'm definitely tired. Yeah. Not so sure about hungry all the time.
Well, you're not, like, a physical big entity like me. Is that the diplomatic way of saying I like to eat a lot? Yeah. No, that's giving the wrong impression. People just they think I'm a blob. I'm just one of those nerds who just sits here eating cakes and playing Warcraft.
And you work IT.
I'm not. I'm actually really good looking. No, I'm not. I I don't know. I've been getting up really early. I've come back from holiday. I think it's the transition of the nice holiday and the getting up bit later, and you know, everything's a lot more relaxed into the kind of like the full-on getting up at 6 in the morning, getting on with trains of people who haven't discovered a deodorant, you know, and all that kind of thing. I don't know about the Canadian sort of railway infrastructure, but ours is just crushing and crumbling under the amount of usage. People are using it more and more. I have to say it's improved leaps and bounds from the old days, but it is, mate. It's got far too many people using it, and there are not enough carriages, and the platforms have not got enough space. There you go. But apart from that, good. And yourself?
Yeah. I'm all right. You got me thinking about the rail infrastructure over here. We have a railway. Obviously, when you have a country this big, you got to have a railway, but no one, you know, very poor for moving people around. Toronto's awful. You've got about 3 lines. I mean, literally an up line, a down line, and around the circle line. You know, it's just awful. They need, and it's too late. You know, you want to sort of build more and be very thankful for what you have. Be very thankful that you live in a small town and you have a train station. I mean, I have a train station and we're quite a big town. It doesn't run at the weekend, so I can't go into Toronto if I want to at the weekend on the train, which is just crazy. Hopefully that will improve. Anyway, we'll see. But other than that, I'm fine.
Cool. That's good.
You're not interested in my trains at all.
No, I am interested in your trains. I just, trains are trains. You know, I do see the odd train spotter. I don't know if you have that phenomenon in Canada where you have men that go out there and mark on a little list and take pictures of trains, but you often see the train spotter.
Mate, they have train spotters everywhere. Okay, I'll tell you a quick story. We went down to Florida last year. We drove down to Florida, and on the way down, my wife saw on the map that there was half an hour off the road down going south. You could go to the cafe, the Fried Green Tomatoes Cafe. Remember that movie, that's How to Eat Worms.
Morgan Freeman playing.
Telling me now, Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe.
Oh, right. Not Driving Miss Daisy. I was getting that.
No, it's same sort of thing, probably. Oh. I don't know. It wasn't for us. Anyway, so we stopped off to this cafe, and then we went in and we had our fried green tomatoes at this cafe in the middle of nowhere. Right next to the cafe was a train line. And so my wife and the kids go off, and they're going to do some shopping and get some mugs for all the women back in England. Whistle Stop Cafe, Then I'm sitting there standing by this train line, and there's this train guy standing there as well, and the train comes by, and the guy starts taking notes, and he's got a jacket on for the train line or whatever. And I say, how are you? What are you doing? You know, do you work for the railway? No, it doesn't work for the railway whatsoever. Absolute bodger of a train spotter just there in the middle of nowhere. You know, unbelievable. Don't know what he was doing.
These guys would have loved to have worked on the railway. My aunt is actually, her partner, called Brian, who works in IT, is a train spotter, and he goes over to America and Canada and various different places, and he actually washes down the steam engines. Wonder what on earth he's doing, because he just comes along, he sort of emails them, and they says, they can't believe he spends his holiday washing steam engines, because these people would have loved to, I suppose, have worked on the railways. I don't know, there's some sort of romantic notion, perhaps, if I'm being sort of pleasant to them. Otherwise, I just think, you know, that they're just quite sad, sort of lonely people that stand there recording this stuff and taking pictures and cataloguing. It's this cataloguing of this kind of like whole thing. I don't get that. What happens to these catalogs? Do they go somewhere? Where do these people put this stuff?
I don't know. You see, I sort of get the thing about getting older. Right, first of all, if you're a train spotter when you're young, there's no hope for you. You're done.
You're a virgin.
You're done. But I can sort of see that if you're getting into trains and things like that as you get old. Well, I can see it because I am, right? That's the problem. And I've even found myself, I was listening to one of the gaming podcasts, and one of the presenters on there, he got really into Train Simulator 2012, I think it was. Yeah, he even bought the big train simulator console controls.
Driving. Oh, mate.
So he's like driving
a
train.
He's probably got hungry kids as well, hasn't he?
I don't know, but I tell you what, I'm slightly interested. Just slightly interested. But yeah, traveling to wash down trains.
And the thing is, these guys are actually employed and paid to wash down these engines. He actually goes there, spending his own money, and they don't pay anything for it. And he just, he cleans down his engine. He absolutely loves it.
Well, if he loves it, fair enough.
Mate, everyone to their own. I kind of like got to the point in my life where, you know, I probably used to make me angry. I don't know why. I mean, why are people enjoying themselves doing their stuff? I suppose I just don't get the logic. Now I just think everyone's their own. Good luck. Wash your engines. Clean the tracks of puke. I don't know what you do when you're out there, but, you know. Right.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, he's probably very clever because he's getting into against the
engine. Oh, he's got a doctorate, mate. He's got a PhD in something.
No, I'm not saying he's stupid. I'm saying the idea is very clever.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Well, no, but these people that do this, these people that are kind of got this autistic, temperament to know stuff down and list steam engine numbers and whatever they are, are normally very intelligent sort of people, not probably the most articulate. He's not a big talker, shall we say. But
but he's very clever. He's found a way to get close to the engines and look at them up close without, you know, for hours on end, under the premise that he's cleaning. Maybe he is cleaning them as well.
Yeah, so, but he cleans them.
Good for him. Okay, no, I bet he does.
Right. Anyway, let's crack on.
Okay.
Anyway,
crack on then. Okay, let's move on to the Apple. I think it's a company out of the U.S. Have launched a telephone.
They have. They have. Shall I tell you? There's a really interesting statistic here. Okay, when the iPhone 5 was released, Apple are so big and so profitable for the U.S. that 0.5% of their GDP is made just on the release of this phone alone. That shows you, yes, and it's a staggering statistic of how powerful this company is and how successful the products are.
Yeah, I did see that fact. GDP was expected to rise. Was it 0.5% or 0.0%?
Half a percent.
Or half a,
yeah.
Half a percent?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, that's... Yeah, that is pretty amazing.
It is. For a technology, well, you know, I mean...
How much is one of those iPhones going for?
They're probably about 500 quid.
That's a lot of money.
And this is my rant, okay? I've discussed this before. It's a little bit like the train spotting thing. These people are intelligent, you know. I think they are. But 1,500...
Don't be so sure.
All right, then maybe I'm... there's obviously some self-satisfied thing in all of this. It always reminds me, if you go onto our site, www.transatlanticrants.com, you'll actually see me ranting in the first page about the whole Apple thing and how... In my mind, the Simon and Garfunkel song, the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. People worship Apple, and it's a really strange thing. Like, people worship, because we can tie these two in, where train spotters worship machinery, you guys out there that think you're all trendy in your combat trousers and how you're sitting there with your iPad just waiting for someone to mug you, right? You think that by getting your iPhone 5, this gives you some sort of social kudos, and that's the thing I don't buy into. So you wait and you queue. 1,500 of you morons queued outside a shop for 24 hours to get your hands on this phone. Now, who does that? Who does that? If you were intelligent enough, you would wait until it's gone through a couple of service packs or updates or whatever they do on this thing before you get it. And you know the funny thing is about all you guys who went to do this? Is that your maps... Yeah, your maps that you thought, where you thought you'd actually try and improve on the Google Map app, which I have used, and it's great, it works. It's rubbish, and it's crashing, and it's not working for you because you were too stupid and you were too quick to go out and buy it. You never go out and buy the first release of anything. Let's look at how Windows works. Have a look at any new technology. You wait. But anyway, I just don't get or buy into the mass euphoria and desire and need to have the latest version every time of these bloody phones. Just use the old one and be happy that you've got that. Stop wasting your money. Spend it on your kids. Spend it on something useful instead of having to need the latest thing all the time.
I don't think they have kids.
I don't know, mate. Don't do that. They wouldn't understand that, you know, that... God, 500 quid. How much nappage could you buy in that? There's a serious amount of baby stuff that you can buy with 500 quid.
Well, they'd have to get an adapter for their dongle.
They would.
Which I think is highlights an interesting point, is that you have a lot of other phone manufacturers are following suit and going to standard chargers, standard connections. Mini USB seems to be, you know, one of the standard players now for most of the connections. But Apple didn't follow that, did they? You have to get an adapter to go to, I think it's mini USB or whatever it is anyway. And... that's the machine. That's the machine out of control. And how can we get more money out of this?
That actually is a very, very important point. And I want anybody that's listening into this that might see this as a bit of a blog on technology to follow these words, okay? When Sony, and they still do this, when they...
Sony are the worst.
Yeah, but when they decided to do this, mate, and they tried to make their brand and their technology just work on their stuff, so you had to buy their adapters.
They're still doing it.
I know, mate. I know they are. But look how the mighty have fallen. Now, Apple doing this, and the other thing that Apple do is, and it's very clever, but it's incredibly infuriating, when you buy the cheaper version, you don't actually go for the Apple product, you buy an adapter or power charger that isn't Apple. Their software is clever enough or whatever to actually realize that you have bought a cheap chip one and it won't charge certain things. So it's another point where they are hemming in the market and constricting it by ensuring that they just have running on their technology.
Well, they don't constrict the market, do they? They just constrict their own user base. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. You know what? I'm not an expert on the phones, but I've seen the adverts for the Samsung i3 or whatever it is. No, not i3, G3. Yeah. I mean, I know it's an advert from Samsung, so it's going to say it's better, but it looks as good.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know.
There is.
Does it make phone calls? Do any of these phones actually make phone calls?
That as well. That's the funny thing about all of this sort of stuff, isn't it? That certain things just sort of take a back seat. How well does it make a phone call? I've noticed on here on these phones on these because I've got an iPhone and I apologise. It sounds so hypocritical about this stuff. And I've actually got one, but you can't sort of add people into calls or whatever to try and actually make a phone call to somebody. You have to go through various different options and screens, etc., to get to make the call. I don't know, man. It's not so much Apple, because I think what they've done is incredibly clever, and I think that has to be lauded in certain circles. But it's the people that are out there that buy the stuff that are the most self-serving, loathsome, self-satisfied, smug fuckers you could ever meet in your life, honestly. And you are just the most socially crippled twats as well at the same time. So while you're sitting on there blatantly advertising that you're an Apple whore, just remember that everybody else that looks at you that are PC mongers just despise you. Just remember that. That's me on iPhone.
So, right. If any of our listeners, yeah, all right.
I know that my friends are coming more of the Dark Lord at the moment, but honestly, I just find them. I was looking at the people in the pictures of the people that were sitting out there, and they got the little tents and they're queuing up, and I just thought, please.
I don't think those people listen to us.
No, they don't, mate. They wouldn't be on this. And they get so defensive as well, you know, that when you're sort of suggesting that they might need to get a life and not queue up. I don't know. I think that, you know, the whole thing of Cameron, this is going on to a James Cameron, not a David Cameron. James Cameron's Terminator film of how we sort of allow technology to sort of take over and run our lives, and we've started to worship it, and they're taking over the machines, becoming more and more prevalent in our society, where we are far too much allowing pieces of metal, like people that love cars, like Formula One, and adoring pieces of metal, that our psyche's damaged. I think we're just getting too into it. But that's another big discussion, but yeah, that's iPhone 5.
That's the iPhone 5. Yeah, well, as a side note, I got a new phone this week, BlackBerry Curve, I think it is, smartphone. No buttons on it. It took me half an hour to figure out how to make a call. Oh, yeah. Within 5 minutes, I already figured out how to download stock exchange stuff and whatever. Could I make a phone call out of it? No. Brutal. And now all I do... Now the only thing, the main thing, that it makes me work, because I have spent all my time trying to keep it out of my kids' hands. Because the thing with the BlackBerry is it looks like a smartphone. Well, it's a smartphone, and it looks like an Apple or whatever. No, it doesn't look like an Apple, but, you know, it has the big screen, and it is very pretty. But the thing with the BlackBerries is no games. So there you go.
Yeah, BlackBerry's profits have dropped quite substantially. I think that they are getting pushed out of the market. One of the things I've always admired by BlackBerry is the kids that use BlackBerries, and you see them. And the dexterity that they summon to text somebody and make their lives so much harder and obviously get premature arthritis is incredible.
I get the impression from the BlackBerries, they haven't fared well recently. I think they'll still hang around. I think in terms of a work phone, they dominate on email.
They're
a utility phone. They're much more of a work phone, I think. So. But anyway, okay, enough about phones. Let's go on. You said you saw David Cameron, or did you see David Cameron on Letterman?
I didn't actually see David Cameron on Letterman. I just saw the highlights of that. And
David Cameron, of course, being the UK Prime Minister.
He's an Exetonian. He's obviously come from a background like many of our ministers, where they've come from a public school, and that means different things in various countries. But if you think of a private paying school where your parents pay for your qualifications so that you come out with more than your average poor peasant, like Fraser and me, that went to what we'd call a comprehensive school, David Cameron went to a private school, a very famous one. Now, I'm going to tie in our discussion later on, which is X Factor, with David Cameron, and I'll tell you how I made that linkage. Parents paying for their kids to go to a private school literally have a kind of baptism of fire, where the teachers breed into them that they are future leaders, especially at Eton. It's bred into these kids that they'll be leaders, so they go into debating society. They join the Young Conservative Club. They literally manufacture these toffee nose, sort of like types. Given, I suppose, and like you see with X Factor and Bob Bylaw, this kind of false expectation that they are actually leaders and that they do know how to govern population. And I would argue you don't.
I hear what you're saying. And I think you also, you know, whether they're from Eton or a number of, you know, public schools or whatever it may be, just in general, I think you don't, they come from all walks. This uprising or, you know, overtaking infection of the professional politician.
Yes.
Someone who, I mean, I can't imagine, can you imagine going to university and somebody is just, what do you want to be? As you're having your pint in the student union and they just say, you know, I can't wait, I'm going to be, you know, a politician. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really? That's the best you can come up with.
Yeah. You want to be a bum-feeding, pointless entity that literally goes into these environments not having any talent in, say, in an environment where you actually need it, i.e. in a private sector where your decisions can make or break a company. No, you either come, and this is from a Labour MP, and this is where you probably have in the American political system, a Democrat, where you've worked in councils, etc., etc., where, again, you get paid whether you're any good at your job or not. And trying to make any of you lot redundant is literally nigh on impossible. So you can be completely incompetent, waste lots and lots of public money, then take office into the Commons and waste even more money. Or you can be a Conservative, which would be like a Republican, where you have this expectation that everything you say is gold dust, where you can walk into any various different position and what you say goes, but you have an inflated opinion of your abilities. And this is pretty much where Cameron's come. So he's basically been born, like in a kind of matrix sort of chamber, where he's been sucking on the tit of an exclusive, privileged life, and then walks in and thinks he can then govern the rest of society. And this is why politics and leadership, where I suppose where if you get Martin Luther King's, where you get your Gandhi's, where you get your inspiring people, don't come from those rich sort of privileged backgrounds. They come from perhaps humble beginnings and work their arse off to get somewhere. So there's a lesson in that. Anyway, so David Cameron and what we have now in society, which is where you have to have this chronic need for PR and making your politicians look human when they're obviously plainly not, goes on to David Letterman. Basically sort of like show he's a man of the people and isn't he a funny sort of guy. David Letterman just uses the whole opportunity to sort of silently ridicule, I think, politicians, because Cameron didn't know anything about our history or seemed to be struggling on sort of general questions about our history. Any jokes, he basically played the fool guy, and if you go onto YouTube and see it, you'll just see him basically just being lined up, smacked down.
See, now I didn't see it, right? But you know what? Lover or hater, did you ever imagine Thatcher going on David Letterman?
She would have got him out of his seat.
She would have eaten him alive.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just a different sort of politician. This sort of, I don't know where it started either. I think it started around about Tony Blair, maybe, with this inviting Oasis to come to the number 10 Downing Street for a party, you know. In fact, you know what, it probably started before Tony Blair, with Bill Clinton getting up on stage and playing the saxophone. I mean, it's like, come on.
Yes.
Just do your job, govern the country, keep some sort of ministerial decorum, yeah, you know.
It is.
I don't know.
You've also got now, obviously, in the US, you've got these presidential elections where they're all trying to be the man of the people and all the rest of it. It's just, you're just spineless. I have to. The one thing I about the kind of like Obama and Romney Mitt or whatever his name is that at least of Obama, he has kind of stood by what he said he's going to do in certain aspects that you have to sort of admire. Whereas Romney Mitt has basically gone on and said to half the country, you're just basically tax scrounging oiks, and I know you're not going to vote for me anyway, so you can all get stuffed. And that's why you have this 50-50 of you not trying to appeal to anybody. So, and we have
system, mate. Yeah, I saw an interesting program the other day, old Mitt Romney's history with the Mormons and out in Mexico and how they all live in communities out there and are fighting the drug lords. It was fascinating. You should see that. But let's not go into politics of who, of that sort of stuff. That's dangerous ground. But I just don't understand anyone going on a talk show. I mean, you're the Prime Minister of England. What are you doing?
And the other thing is that Letterman gets 3 to 4 million viewers. It's not a large base of people. And it almost just seemed to me is that David went on there, good old Dave, man of the people, to try and be trendy. He's going, if I go on Letterman, it'll be a little bit trendy. I'll appeal to those kind of like left-wing kind of like environment, you know. Whereas at least with Romney Mitt, he comes over to the UK just during the Olympics and basically insults the whole of the UK by saying, this all's my travel. You got to admire that on the other side of the coin. It's like, I don't care anybody about you in the UK. You know, that's the whole diplomacy thing. But yeah, I just find it staggering. There's another little factor came out from one of our MPs that basically said that Gordon Brown, who was an unelected prime minister, basically we didn't have any choice. He kind of like stepped in there, pushing Tony Blair out of the way and moving into the sea. An interview, one of his sort of like top men turned around and said that he kind of like realised, good old Gordon, that he wasn't right for the job and he was going to struggle in it. And I'm thinking, you are making decisions and selling off our gold and everything else, and you realised that you weren't married and you still were in there fighting to get re-elected. It's like you don't realise whether you're hindered by talent or not, do you, you morons? And you are not hindered by talent.
Well, to be fair to Gordon Brown, I mean, he may have sort of said, you know, I'm not the man for this job, but it looked behind him and went, oh my God.
Exactly, who's behind me?
What's the alternative? I got to spare these people. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's pretty poor. I mean, yeah, you're David Cameron, what are you doing?
Yeah, mate. Go back and what you should have done is you should have just gone onto the stock exchange or basically been given a job through all his little special handshakes and all the little like connections that they probably all have. And just not try to be a leader. Let's face the fact that most of the people that are in politics and most of the people that think they're leaders of men, you are not. You don't even look as though you could even go and do a hard day's grafting out somewhere. You just look like you're not.
Can we see your hands, please?
Yeah, I want to see some hands. I want to see some calluses on your hand that you can actually do some hard grafting because you're not men. And you shouldn't be trying to govern men that are men, right? Move along.
Yeah. I don't understand how David Cameron, I guess, you know, there's somebody in his trendy noob, and they're probably even worse than the career politicians or the career marketing people behind the politicians. I can't even begin. They all got their iPhones. They all got iPhone 5s in the post the other day. I can't even begin to imagine hanging out with them. Is how they sort of say, yeah, this is a great idea. You know, you should go on Letterman. How does the Prime Minister even have time to consider that?
Yeah, because he has this whole, this is the thing, mate. They literally have a whole team of people from his hair to the way that they now wear their shirt sleeves rolled up to look as though they're really doing some grafting by talking to people. I'm going to roll my sleeves up, stand in a crowd, and look as though I'm grafting by talking to you, being a man of the people with my rolled up sleeves like you. Fucking morons. And this is what you are, Cameron, when you went on there. And what you did is also you got the News of the World, who's editor at the time, he actually asked to come and work to do this kind of like PR, basically propaganda machine that is behind him. Now this guy that was the News of the World, was David Cameron's kind of PR guy, is now being done for major fraud and all sorts of various different awfulness. So let's have some natural politicians, please. Let's get rid of all of that. Don't go on Letterman. if you're going to go onto places or go onto proper forums to discuss politics, stop pretending you're a man of the people, because you're not. And until we get past this, where it's your birthright to lead people, where your ancestors, and let's be honest here, in the First World War were all officers and literally led men, real men, over the top to their deaths. You are the cowards right. That were hiding in your bunkers, all right? So you can fuck off.
Okay, right, moving on.
Allegedly. Well, they were, okay, mate. Their whole ancestry is in sport or anything. Like with the upper classes, like with polo or with golf or all of these kind of like upper class sports, they've all sort of invented sports where they don't have to do an awful lot, where they have a caddy to carry their bag, or they sit on a horse to like hit things. It's just, that's another discussion, the laziness of the upper classes. Fox hunting. I'm not going to run after a fox. I'm going to get a ruddy big horse and chase that fucker wherever he will. I'm going to be the laziest fucker I can. I'm going to have a drink halfway through, and then I'm going to go and do it again. Ah, up the river.
What about darts?
Yes. Anyway.
Is darts a sport?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to the X factor then. The decline. Can anything that bad go into decline? Can any sort of type of television of that sort? I mean, I'm not saying it's passed me by. You know, I'm aware of it. I haven't watched it. The X Factor and all these sorts of different programs. Reality, the rebirth of reality TV, which is effectively what it was. Not my cup of tea at all.
The whole of the X Factor, Pop Idol, all of that kind of like shbalang, has basically made the individuals that produced it an awful lot of money. It hasn't made the people that have sung and gone up there and embarrassed themselves in front of millions of people any money really whatsoever. Let's try and think off the top of the heads from a Canadian, American or UK point of view of anybody really, apart from Will Young, that is still around with any notable acclaim. Do you know anybody in Canada that's come out of these shows of any kind of musical contract or an ongoing longevity in that industry?
No, I have no idea. But here's an interesting fact. Didn't Will Young come second to Gareth Gates back when it... That was the first one that really started.
Gareth Gates lost, but everyone thought that Gareth Gates should have won it.
Right, okay, well, here's an interesting fact. I played five-a-side football with Gareth Gates. There we go.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
So your Simon Cowell's, the kind of, he's such a loathsome bottom feeder, honestly. People like him and all of that sort of, where they've made millions, and literally millions, out of this whole thing. This what I would call, and I'm going to be talking from a personal point of view, so anyone out there from a solicitor, whatever your legal angles, this is my personal opinion and it's freedom of speech, is that I truly believe that this whole...
It's not freedom of speech. I'm going to sit here. I'm stuck.
Just listen to it. Ride it. Ride the wave of energy. Of negativity.
All right.
He thinks he's going to save the X Factor. Literally the viewing figures are dropping in the millions because people are just finding it tiresome. Yeah, it's a karaoke challenge. You're getting someone up there seeing somebody else who had talent and actually wrote the song and you sang it to take their talent, and you're just emulating it. It happens on a Brighton pier where you get up, to be honest, people down in Brighton, and you sing on Brighton pier in the karaoke thing, you should be on X Factor because you sing better than half of these imbeciles that go up there. Now these imbeciles, and this is a thing in society where people don't realise that they have absolutely no talent whatsoever, go onto this show to sing their songs and all the rest of it, and then be absolutely stricken dumb when they're told that they can't sing. But my mother said I could sing. No, you can't sing, and we're all sit there and socially bully you. This is what it is. It's socially bullying. I mean, this is the double standards that we have in society, isn't it? Where you have trolling and you have people going online and basically hammering people for what they've done. But then you have this bullying and this sort of let's all laugh at the guy who can't sing or the guy who's dressed up in some sort of outrageous costume. and bully them on a national TV to the baying masses, and that seems to be perfectly acceptable. I don't get that. So anyway, a few things are down. Simon Cowell thinks that he's the magic. You're apparently are the magic, Simon Cowell, that makes everybody watch this tiresome trite. You're coming back to save the program. I am so glad, so happy that this is taking a massive dip. It is dying a death, because anybody who has a real love of music, that's really interested in people with talent, that's really interested in the whole music thing and how it can sort of change and be a dynamic force for the greater good, don't fucking watch X Factor, right? And these droning, C-line clapping flits that go there to hear someone sing well and think it's a major thing, like when they all looked at that bearded Scottish woman that went out there and sang that sang that song. You know, I'm just glad that you are dying a slow death. You're like an injured rabbit.
I think, I would say on that Simon Cameron, I think I have a friend called Simon Cameron. Simon Cowell, he's not stupid. So he's obviously tied in to all this. To the X Factor doing well is worth it for him, obviously, because he's making a pile of money for it. X Factor's starting to go down the tank, starting to tank and go down. He's got an interest in making sure it doesn't. Now, he's not stupid. He knows that every dog has its day, and, you know, sooner or later it's going to go, right? But he's going to come in and try and breathe some life into the mouth of the dying husk that is the X Factor, because he's going to make more money. It's not in his interest to see it slide and disappear. So he's going to do whatever he can. Absolutely, it's a load of old toilet, you know.
Yeah, but it's a load of old toilet, mate, that a third of the population have watched at some point, and that's so frightening. I think there has been such a slowdown in our evolution as a human species that people think that listening to some little girl singing someone else's song well is a step forward as entertainment. I don't get that. Go and put an album on. Go and put something decent on. Go and scan, I don't know, iTunes or whatever you want to do. Actually, don't scan iTunes. Go and find some competitors, like, product.
Yeah, or go watch Safe with the Safe.
Yeah, go and do that. But don't be going there and just listening to some little girl singing on a show and thinking that's somehow an enormously amazing, wonderful step in entertainment. It's just tiresome, honestly. And then if you have that point of view, and I have this, I kind of feel I'm an alien. I argue with my sisters all the time about this, because they sort of think this is a magical thing, and it's not. Let it die. Let the X Factor, let Pop Idol, let Big Brother, let any of these reality things where people are just basically going on there to embarrass themselves, so the baying masses just die a death, gets decent TV on there.
Yeah, I don't, you know what though? I don't think TV can do without it, because before you had the X Factor, there were all sorts of other programs. I mean, every game show is geared around just... The very few game shows aren't geared around making fun of the competitors. Back in this, what was it? Back in the 70s or the 80s? What was the one where Stuart Hall had them all running around in big dog costumes and whatever?
It's a Knockout.
It's a Knockout, right? You're telling me there's dignity in that?
No, but I'll tell you what. Seeing the French and the Germans and the Italians all in giant kind of like chef's costumes running around falling off spinning foam filled spinning wheel thingies was far more entertaining than seeing some strange
gladiator.
That was another program that needed to do. Oh, gladiator.
I think we have the States to blame for that one.
Yeah, but so. I just think that, mate, that the decline of the X Factor, long death of the X Factor, long live the king. It's just like, good. X Factor is dead. Let it continue, please. And let that now, where we can have, because all these things come on a cycle, don't they? You have Opportunity Knocks and all these various programs come down in various different formats. And I know that America and Canada have a similar sort of thing. They were in the 70s, then they died a death. They came back in the 80s, they then died a death. And every time, the only people that have made any money or benefited whatsoever was the producers selling all the stuff very quickly for a short period of time, then dumping the acts, leaving them in no man's land and moving on to the next thing. It's criminal in itself.
Yeah, well, we're stuck. Yeah, and you know what? It's no different over here. If you can take Britain's Got Talent, we have Canada's Got Talent, I think. You know, So You Think You Can Dance. So You Think You Can Dance Canada, there's another one. It's brutal. And the thing I don't get is, where are they finding these people? Because I don't think anybody watches it. There's nobody lives in Canada. There's a population of about 3,000. So I don't know how they do it, man.
Turned up everywhere and you find these people, mate.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so anyway, I do like a good karaoke. I used to like a good karaoke after a few beers. So
what's wrong with that? Let's just not put it on a national stage. Let's get people actually writing tunes. Let's get the future Bob Dylans, the future John Lennons, the future talents out there. You know, the Bob Marleys or whoever. Because unfortunately, the people that need to have the forum, that need to be seen by the masses to kind of make changes or whatever, are just not being given the visibility. And I think that's the tragedy of these programs, is that the real talent isn't discovered. And we were just getting someone singing someone else's song, Celine Dion's I Will Go On, trite, for the next 15 years, you know.
Well, the problem with TV is you're spoon-fed whatever those people are giving you. There's no choice in the matter. I'd like to say, though, you know, the great white hope is the internet, where at least you can sort of, at one click, you can say, you know what, I don't want to watch that. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to go to YouTube. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch that. I'm selectively driving down to what I want to listen to.
Yeah.
And, you know, that gives a perfect forum for aspiring acts of quality talent to become successful. And the prime example of that is Justin Bieber. Go Bieber.
Oh, oh God, that creepy bit. Has he actually reached puberty yet? I don't know.
The problem is not the media, mate. The problem's the people.
Oh, it is. Can we set him up for a rant later on about... this is the thing again.
He pushed Canada's GDP up by 0.5%.
I was going to be really rude about Canada then, and I'm not going to be, because you guys, you know, I do like Canada.
We feel bad about Bieber.
I feel sorry for the poor guy. He was discovered, wasn't he, on the street singing a song, and then someone like threw him into the spotlight, and then some girl said that she'd been impregnated by the Bieber. And then this guy has literally replaced the Michael Jackson. It's almost as though our society can't live without having certain puppets.
Michael Jackson being
a bit of a puppet. Now you've got Justin Bieber being a bit of a puppet. And he'll go the same way, mate. He will be in a hotel with a heroin needle stuck in his ass, you know, some slum town somewhere. Well, basically, he'll be surrounded by yes men who will basically tell him anything that he does is great. You know, have children in your bed. Have a monkey, go into an oxygen tank. That's all good stuff. You know, that guy Jackson was on his way out, and Bieber, your time.
Yeah,
numbered,
that's the car crash that we get to watch over the next few years, I guess. So, okay, move on.
Yep.
Okay, I got a quiz for you this week.
Oh no!
To try and break you up. Here we go. Okay, this quiz. Okay, this one. I got this idea from Reddit. So this quiz is called Drunk or Kid. All right.
Okay.
Five questions. Each one is going to give you an example of something that happened, and you have to guess whether it happened by a drunk or a kid.
Okay.
All right. Okay. The first one. Tried to hit a basketball with a baseball bat, swinging downwards. Bat recoiled and knocked me out cold. Drunk or kid?
Kid.
Correct.
Yes. A drunk would try and smack it like a cricket bat, wouldn't they?
Yeah, like a golf swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, number two. Drove a golf cart while laying on the hood. Drove down a hill and tried to stop it with my feet. Got pulled under and ran myself over.
Well,
okay, you picture that. So he's leaned on the hood, and he's tried to sort of drive it while leaning over the hood of the golf cart when it's got out of control. Stop it with his feet and got pulled under and driven over.
I'm trying to think how that's physically possible to stop his feet without him having to flip over.
That's why I'm just trying to
try and visualize that he's on top of the hood. He's looking, peering over. How do you stop with your feet? Did he try and hook his feet underneath the thing? How long?
No. So imagine you walk to the front of the golf cart. You leaned over, and it's driving, and you're driving it with your arms leaning over the hood, and then to stop it, you put your feet down in front of the golf cart, and it just sucks you under.
Oh, crikey. Definitely drunk.
Actually, it was the drunk kid.
The drunk kid? Oh, that's...
apparently, he was 8 years old, and his mother gave him a beer to cool him down on a really hot day. So, trick question. Number three, walked out of the bathroom, turned right instead of left towards my room, and fell down a flight of stairs, got concussion and woke up in hospital.
Drunk?
No, kid.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Could be drunk, though, couldn't
it? Yeah, mate, you're making these up.
Ran into the living room naked and peed on my sleeping father.
You.
Not me.
Drunk.
Nope, kid.
What? Where are these kids from?
I'm just saying. Crawled between my parents in their bed and then vomited.
I remember actually just on this point that I'm being incredibly hammered. You know when you get to that point where you go into a sort of a strange dimension? Well, I'd gone into the dimension and I was about 26. I'd just for the readers or the listeners out there, I'd kind of like wet the bed and I walked into my parents' room naked and said my bed's awash with beer, and my mum had to come and assist. So I'm presuming it's got to be a drunk.
That was drunk, yeah.
Yes, get it.
So, yeah, there you go. I think you got 3 or 4 out of 5 there. I wasn't really counting.
No, that's good. Actually, on the bit with the guy who ran himself over, that has actually happened to Brian Harvey, who was in E17, where he was in his BMW and he dropped a hot potato that he was eating. He leant out the side door to try and pick up the hot potato. The car was rolling. He fell out. The car rolled over him, pulling his legs behind his head and snapping them. He was gifted. He was gifted. But for anybody who doesn't know Brian Harvey, actually, go and have a look. He's 17. Go and have a look on YouTube. He's the funniest thing. He used to wear the strangest hats. I think he's a plaster now. Or whatever, but he managed the acclaim of actually managing to run himself over while trying to get his baked potato back.
Just makes that story a baked potato.
I know. He was in his car eating one. Dropped it, rolled out the door. It's bizarre. But it did happen. It's absolutely true. It did happen. And he had a long time trying to recover from that, probably mentally and physically.
Okay, so let's move on to Safe with the Stave.
Yeah.
Okay, so Safe, film, I think it was out this year, 2012.
Yep.
And Jason Statham, nobody else of note, I don't think. And... you made me watch it, so we did. We watched it. Premise behind the film. Well, now where do we start, man? I was just watching it, and I was just like, "You've got to be kidding me!" I mean, how many? Well, I don't see that. It's leaving me speechless, right? He's a cage fighter. He kills somebody when he's supposed to have. By accident, in the second round, with one hit.
Yeah.
He's supposed to have thrown the fight. So, but because he kills this guy and knocks him out, it ends up costing the mob, the Russian mob, billions of dollars. The Russian mob then kills his wife and then says to him, if you get, you're on the streets now, we'll let you live. If anybody becomes your friend, we'll kill them. So he's then walking the streets. Then what happens is it turns out, he gets picked up by the police. And it turns out all the police know him because he's an ex-police officer. And they don't like him because of something. I didn't even figure that one out.
He grassed a lot of them up.
Did he grass a lot of them up? Okay.
Yeah, they were corrupt.
In the meantime, not only does he know all these police officers, then in the second story, there's a story about a Chinese girl who has special abilities, being able to remember numbers, and she gets caught up in the mob or whatever. He happens to see her being chased by the same Russian mob. And saves her, taking down a load of the Russian mob. He's very, very tough as well.
Yes.
Then it turns out that the police that he doesn't like are also after him.
Because he's special forces as well, isn't he?
It turns out that he's special forces.
It's genius. It's utter genius.
I think it moves, it just, and it doesn't stop there, because the mayor's involved. The mayor knows him personally because the mayor has selected him.
He was well networked, mate.
I've never, ever, ever seen anything like it in my life. It was unbelievable.
I just love the fact that the scriptwriter, rather than trying to work out the smooth path to his various different, like, you know, his history, just thought, oh, sod it, well, he can be this, and he can be such a... It's almost like when you were kids and you played with toys and you thought that your Evel Knievel was also kind of like your action man, and you're also your sort of, like, climbing, like, parachuting, kind of like whatever. And you just throw all of these attributes at this poor toy, and save for the stafe. People that don't know, I just have to say, Jason Statham is just legendary. I was really concerned when we lost, obviously, Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. We didn't lose them, but literally they were getting too old. And I know that they've done The Indispensables and all the rest of it, but...
The Indispensables.
What's what they called now? I don't know. The Incredibles, what they called?
The Incredibles.
What are they called?
The Expendables.
Expendables.
The Dependables.
The condoms. The chuck out the window tied in the knotters. that we were going to lose an action hero, and the Stake, who was an ex-Olympic diver, took over the role. People might remember him from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, from Snatch, and all those sort of things. But he's just legendary in this. The action and the violence takes the new stratosphere.
I know. The thing is, he's just, the killing just kicks in, right? Just this random indiscretion. He's killing everyone with no sense of remorse. And he's completely in shape as well for a bum that's been living on the streets for a year.
Who no one's been allowed to talk to.
Oh, man, you absolutely have to suspend belief.
Yeah. You do, but what you have to take with it, though, is the fact that if you just want one hell of a roller coaster ride, and as you say, when the fighting kicks in, and there's a bit on the subway where you think he's just going to literally just take these guys out, beat them up, like they do in a lot of films, but he doesn't. He beats the proverbial out of this poor guy and then just shoots him in the head.
Yeah, there is quite a few
quite
a few executions, yeah. It's well, my wife said to me, she said she couldn't believe, you know, why he'd done that. And I said, you know, the guy is a cash cow. No uncertainty he got a couple of million just for doing that piece of crap. You know, banks a couple of million, knocks that out, films it in a month or 2 months, you know, on to the next one until whatever.
Yeah, but there's,
you know, you have to take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, you do. But, I mean, it's not going to get Oscar nominations, but for an absolute...
You reckon?
Can you imagine if they, how refreshing would that be if Stafe with Stafe? Because to be honest, any Stafe film, apart from, I think, his films in where he basically plays a guy who's a ticker, is has to be constantly recharged, otherwise he'll die. It's a great premise.
Oh, Crank.
Yeah, and Crank 2 they've done. Apart from those two films, which are pants, it's just legendary.
Well, yeah, the Transporter films are all the same. They're absolutely throwaway toilet.
But they're great.
Yeah, but you have to watch them.
Yeah, you do.
So we watched that. Yeah, that was funny.
Mark's
so,
yeah.
Mark's out of 10. 5. No, that would make it less than the Hunger. That would make it less than the Hunger Games. I can't give it 7. 6.5.
No, 4's just up, mate.
No way.
I've
got to have some credibility.
7 out of 10.
Saying that, I did give Dark Knight Returns or whatever. I keep getting that film. Hey, they actually released Dark Knight Returns. Warner Brothers are releasing an animated film of the Dark Knight Returns books. First one's out this month. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're thinking The Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises, yeah. I'll never get it right.
This is another thing about Cage, that you have this situation, and you probably have this as well, where we have this. You know, the guy that did the thing that did the such and such, and then you have your missus, it's like half-hour comp. You know, the bloke that did the thing that was on the such and such, and the blooming, I don't know what you're talking about. Who is he? the guy who was in the thing that, and then you just have to go on your iPhone, and then life's just more present to use that thing. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, I'll give safe with this, Steve. Oh, my credibility. 7.
Yes! Go out and watch it, listeners. Honestly, you'll love it.
It's great.
It's funny. Pinch of salt. Massive. No, actually, take it with a bag of salt.
Marks out of 10?
7.
Did you say? 7?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I'm writing that down.
We'll put it on the website.
We ain't putting diddly on the website. Okay. Games?
Games. On the games side, I've downloaded Dead Space 2, and I've been playing that. I played the first one. I liked that until the end part where I just couldn't do what I was supposed to do in that. So I can't do it. But Dead Space 2 I've been playing. Horrifically, horrifically brutal. People that are out there will probably remember when the Xbox came out, there was a game, and I'm going to have one of these moments again where I can't remember anything, but it was something called Carnage or something or other where you literally had to track down serial killers and you could pull off sort of like fence posts and crack people around the head with it, and you could grab off steel bars off the wall and smack, you know. Not Manhunt, but it was like Manhunt. Was had a picture of a kind of like an eye looking through, looking at you. No.
All right. Well, anybody knows, anyway, they can write in.
If you know, but that game was quite brutal because there was a lot of sort of violence in it. And I suppose now being a parent, I don't know, you just literally something just kicks in and you think, I wouldn't want my kids playing this, and I would not want my kids playing Dead Space 2. There's a couple of episodes in there where even I've seen all sorts. I mean, I'm a guy that quite happily would sit and watch Old Boy time and time again. And if for viewers who haven't seen Old Boy, if you want one of the probably most shocking South Korean hard-hitting films ever, watch Old Boy. It's
watch a man eat a live octopus.
But there's a lot more. Don't ruin it. Don't have a sixth sense, kind of like, you know, he's dead really. But there's a lot in there that people go.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. Well, yeah, you know, now you have kids. You have to be prepared for that. I was playing Black Mesa the other day, and you know, in terms of run and gun, my boy, who's, you know, young, he's only 6. He'll see running and gunning, and no big deal. But then suddenly there's an alien. Or somebody crawling on the floor on fire, making a, you know, a scary noise, and he caught that, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, you know, turn that off, because he's genuinely scared. So yeah, you know, these things have a certificate for a reason.
But let's be honest, certificates are just not followed. Kids will buy these things on eBay. They can set up an account. There's no means of preventing kids. The reason why I wanted to bring up Dead Space 2 is there's a scene in there where you ditch your gang through the ship, basically blasting these fairly scary kind of like monsters and all the rest of it, and that's good for people that are kind of adult age. But there's these babies that have literally been infected with the virus that you're picking up through your kind of telepathic kind of like whatever it is, you know, you can move things by your hands or whatever, you know, like a Jedi power kind of thing.
And I think with telepathic movement, the whole point is you don't use your hands.
Well, what's it called? Is it telepathic? Well, when you can move on.
Oh, no, isn't it telepathic thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, the telepathy is if I was to say, you're a shit, and I hadn't actually said it.
I would never pick up on that.
Well, there's something whatever it is. And you're throwing these babies into walls, and you're blasting them in the head, and these little, like, all in this sort of cuddly sort of nursery. And I'm thinking, what on earth am I doing in this? What sort of sick little programmer was sitting there beating himself off to a Pamela Anderson like thing while programming this god awful like scene, and it's really just was not necessary. You didn't need the killing of these little kids and stuff. It's a little bit like in The World at War where you go in and you're with these terrorists and they tell you have to take out all of these people in the airport, and you literally are.
Yeah, that was Modern Warfare 2, wasn't it? The airport scene.
That was not necessary, guys. Honestly. I'm very liberal on things like that, but I don't think you're pushing boundaries that don't need to be pushed.
I think
I don't agree with it.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. So anyway, so you downloaded that? It's not on PlayStation Plus, is it?
It is, yes.
Oh, it is on PlayStation Plus?
It is. So that's what I've been playing it through. Everything else about the game I like. You know, if you just want a good third-person blaster, it's a great game. It's got some scary moments. It's got the sort of scary stuff that you want back in Resident Evil. And Resident Evil 6 is going to be coming out, and we will review that because regular listeners will know that it's a very big popular game of awesome myself. So we'll have a look at that.
Yeah, I really... you know what? Resident Evil 5 nearly passed me by, and then I played it, and I loved it.
So, it's interesting with a game we've made, but I honestly believe they need to go back to the haunted house kind of like thing. I love that whole thing of the puzzle solving, the fact that you would spend months just going back and through doors or whatever. I know for some people that just think, God, I don't want to be doing that, but there's some real scary moments in there. And I think Resident Evil's gone off the boil on the scariness. Get back to that.
Okay.
So Dead Space 2, good game, good sort of one around. You can download it. I think it's free for PlayStation Plus people, or it's about 10 or 15 quid. The only
free or about 10 or 15 quid.
Well, I can't remember. You know, I play a lot of games, so it's
well, there's a little bit of a difference. Anyway, okay, go on.
Then I've been playing on the iPad a game that's incredibly addictive and very, very silly, which is called Stupid Zombies. And I highly recommend it for anybody who's a He's a complete and utter hypocrite like me that slags off Apple and buys most of their products. wonderful game where it's a very simple premise. You're a guy, you shoot various different types of bullets that ricochet and have to kill these zombies. Simple but sound. That's me. That's what I've been doing so far. I'm still playing that. Loads of levels in this stupid zombie. You get a lot of levels for your money.
Yeah.
Go out and check it out.
Mm. Yeah, I'm in trouble. I got my gaming PC up and running, first time ever. On a lot of recommendations, I picked up Black Mesa, which was the Half-Life reiteration of Half-Life, and that's great. I'm really enjoying that. Half-Life, the first game, passed me by. I never played it. I did try and play it on my PlayStation because they released it for the PS2, but it crashed. I remember it crashed, so I never got through it. So I'm enjoying that. It's a great game. It has its faults, but it's pretty good. You can see why it's so popular, and it's interesting because I played Half-Life 2, so I get to see where all that came from. But the worst thing about the PC gaming, oh mate, I'm in deep now because I've got a Steam account. I've had a Steam account for a while, but it's the first time now I've been able to get what I want. I got the Humble Indie Bundle 6, which I was like $6. I got 9 games. It's like pay what you want, and it goes to charity, and you get all these indie games. I got 6 or 7 games for, you know, $7 or whatever it was. I went on Steam and I saw some guy had bought something, Siberia and Siberia 2. What's that? A couple of clicks, I find out that it got ratings of 8.5, 9, and it cost like $3. So I bought that. It's just tons of games. I'm never going to play them, you know. So I'm getting too involved in the PC gaming world. I'm changing, you know, I'm betraying my console roots, but it's fantastic. I love it.
I think you'll find that, mate, with that there is so much out there that you don't need to go and spend money. There's wonderful freeness out there on the web. The great thing I think about Steam and its kind of goodness and its badness is that there is a lot there, mate. If you're looking at the games like the kind of like Command and Conquer type sort of stuff, or those sort of God games, there's loads on the Steam sort of like area that you can play, and they're incredibly addictive. One of the ones that I was playing, and I forget, Commandos, that's it, where you have to like take you get a certain amount of troops or whatever, and you've got to go in and invade certain places. I remember playing that for that hours.
Yeah,
wonderfully addictive. And on your 24-inch screen, mate, wonderful game to lose.
I can see it happening, and I saw I was on Facebook the other day, and a friend of mine on Facebook had posted a picture, this was yesterday or the day before, had posted a picture of a tank in a game, and he was saying, you know, look at my tank, you know, as nerdy as that is, right? But then I looked, and it turns out he's the developer, he works for the developers of this game, you know, World of Tanks, which has been around for a couple of years, and the middle-aged man in me just sort of like, oh, tanks, okay, so I'll be playing that, yeah. It's going to be lame, but I'm going to play it anyway. And, it's a whole new world that's opened up. It's very dangerous and could result in my divorce. So I've been playing that. I finished Darksiders, which was good. I enjoyed that. And I finished Halo Combat Evolved, finally. Got a couple of games finished, so that was good. We got other few things on the go, playing with the son, my son, but there we go. Okay, so let's move on. I'll tell you what, I've got an email.
Oh, wow.
So can I read the email?
Yes.
From Stuart. Thank you, Stuart. I thought of a topic for you today whilst I was driving on the motorway. Two lorries were driving side by side, and obviously both had limiters on them, so neither could get in front of the other. But one still insisted on trying to overtake the other, and this ended up blocking two lanes of the motorway. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that big time.
I don't know why this is, because these trucks are not going to go in. They're on a limiter, aren't they, of about 65 miles an hour, most of these things. I don't know what that is in your kilometres.
It's about 110.
And they're just literally just moving one truck, then blocks the other lane, stopping all of the other cars behind it so that it can go about at exactly the same speed. And just, he's just basically working on the premise that if the guy's nice, he's trying to overtake, he's going to let him in. And if not, they'll just be following each other the whole way along, locking everybody behind them. This comes back to me, and I keep saying this. Trucks and heavy goods vehicles, you need to start driving at hours that are not on the hours of the normal traffic, i.e. you're not putting out trucks at the same time as general traffic and people going to work. I honestly think accidents would be reduced massively if that was looked at as an option, getting those heavy goods vehicles driving at late night hours.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there, but then you want the whole... First of all, ain't ever going to happen. And second of all, then you've got the whole of that sort of traffic driving at night. Do you know how loud and noisy that is? That'd just be... No. What you need is just get all these people putting their goods back on trains. You know, you got the rail network, so get the freight moved on trains. There's no reason to have all the, you know, so much going by road. It's just crazy. But... yeah, and I'll tell you an interesting one I saw on there. We had a delivery truck came to our office the other day, and it said on the back, speed limited to 105 kilometers an hour, which is interesting because the maximum speed limit in the country is 100. I didn't get that, so I got to figure out that one. Wow, they're getting away with that. What's the point? So, thanks for that, Stuart. I think a driving rant is coming. I think about cars. I did hear on the news, apparently, last Wednesday in Springfield, Illinois, it was reported that a BMW driver actually used his turn indicators.
Oh, really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. Mate. So, there is hope for the human race yet.
Not
from BMW drivers. So that's coming. I think we're going to have to do something on driving and cars. Maybe a car episode. We've got to do a Facebook episode, and we have to do a car episode.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. I know that you've got to get off. We didn't get our Italian guest on, unfortunately, anyway, not a problem. What we should figure out is what we're going to watch for next week.
Yes, that's a good point. I mean, I haven't...
You have no idea, do you?
I can't think of anything, really. Honestly, it's so poor out there at the moment on the film sort of side. That I'm not too sure, but I think we could actually there is a film. It's the new film with Bruce Willis, and it's been kind of like described as the new sort of like Matrix for our sort of generation, and it's got one of those kind of, I suppose, science fictiony sort of like head fuck things, and I can't remember what the title is, but it's got Bruce Willis in it. Check it out.
Okay.
New film, Matrix type. We'll know the title for next time.
Okay, well, we'll try and organize on getting a film to watch. Yep. All right, okay, well, look, let's wrap that up.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening, and there we go. Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Rock on.
Rock on, lads.
Stay safe with the Steve.
Don't go to private school. Any Apple products. And if you've got young kids, don't let them play Dead Space 2.
Okay. Well, look, we'll catch up with you next week, hopefully, then.
Wonderful. I like it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. Take care.
Good talk.
Run the Clunt, Crunch.com. Run the Clunt.